Beef Watch Podcast. I'm Aaron Berger, a Nebraska Extension educator. For today's Beef Watch Podcast, we're going to discuss an article that appeared at the beef.unl.edu website titled Chasing the Elusive Second Calf. To discuss this topic, I'm joined today by one of the co-authors, Dr. Carla Wilkie, who's a Nebraska Extension cow-calf systems and stocker management specialist. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Wilkie, I think this article is really timely because for a lot of folks, they have their first calf heifers calving now or soon will be. And the focus of this article is really around how do we get these heifers in shape to give them the best chance to get pregnant with their second calf. Talk through with us some things to think through as we evaluate this and maybe where we might want to think strategically about some investment in terms of getting these heifers bred with their second calf.
Sure. So, you know, a lot of people think about issues related to breeding time a couple months from now if they're calving now, when in reality, there's a lot of things going on with this heifer right now that we need to make sure she's set up and in good shape for that time frame coming 2 months from now. Another thing I get a lot of time is I get calls from people in the fall when the vet's been there to preg check and they're unhappy with the breed up rate for those second calvers are supposed to be calving for the second time. And that's a little late in the game as well.
So let's talk about the importance of what happens for that heifer between now and through the breeding season. How can we try to set her up for success?
So one of the things that I think that people know, but maybe they don't think about it or they don't know it in its entirety, is that lactation is a huge energy drain on any cow. And I think that if you were to ask most producers, well, what requires more energy, gestation or lactation, they'd all get that right. They'd all say, oh, well, lactation. But I think where we run into issues is that a lot of people don't realize how much additional energy is required for lactation. And then when we're talking about this young heifer who's going to soon be hopefully getting bred with her second calf, the other thing that we sometimes forget about with her is that she still has a requirement for growth. So if you think of all her requirements, maintenance, growth, lactation, cycling or reproducing, getting bred again, if you think of all of those things and you think about filling up one bucket first and then it overflows into the next bucket and then overflows into the next bucket, she has more buckets, if you want to call them that, to be filled than a mature cow because the mature cow doesn't have a requirement for growth. And then a lot of people, if I say, well, I think we might have gotten behind on energy for that young cow, they'll say, oh, well, my first calf heifers, they breed up really well. I don't have an issue there. Well, that cow has a need for growth, but she doesn't have a need for lactation. So it's this cow in the middle that causes people the most problems. And that's why she has the most nutritional needs, more so than her younger counterparts getting bred for the first time or the mature cows on the other end. And she has a much smaller rumen than the mature cow. So she has to eat a more nutrient dense diet than that cow, or she has to eat more frequently, those kinds of things.
One of the things you highlighted in the article that I thought did a nice job of illustrating the importance of some strategic feeding to increase the likelihood that this heifer may breed is just the difference in value. You gave an example, if we went out and bought a $2,800 bred heifer, or if we raised her, we may not have that in her, but that's her market value. And then if she comes up open in the fall, she now becomes basically a weigh-up cow. And you talked about the value difference there. When you look at that, and again, when we look at the value of calves this fall and hopefully the value of calves in the fall of 2025, we may be able to spend a little more this year to get that cow rebred. And as we look at also just, I think, things like distillers grains and some supplemental concentrate feeds are less expensive than they have been. This may be a time to spend a little money when maybe we haven't in the past.
It's certainly a time to pencil out some of those things. And the one thing that you mentioned that's in the article is cow depreciation. And We don't often put the value on that that we maybe should because we don't write a check for that cost. But it's a lot like driving that brand new pickup off the lot. You know, it loses value immediately. And if that heifer, if we paid, put into her, you know, that value where she's sitting at $2,800 and we have to sell her as a weigh up, that is a substantial cost on top of the fact that you don't have a calf that you can sell. And so yes, you're right. That's a huge thing to be thinking about. And one thing that I get from producers a lot of times is, well, we don't want to baby our heifers because they have to make it in our environment. And I think there's certainly merit to that. And I don't want to discount that thought process. But in my mind, when you were making that decision, I don't want heifers that cannot make it in my environment. That's a decision that's being made before she's purchased or before she's born if you are developing replacement heifers. Because to me, that's more of a genetic standpoint of what bulls are you selecting for your replacement heifers to have as their sire? You know, what cows are you keeping in your herd? What's the milking ability and the mature size of those cows? Does that fit the environment or not? So, yes, that's a valid point. However, what you and I are talking about today is a heifer that's already here and she has these nutritional needs that a mature cow doesn't. And yet we're saying, well, I'm not going to feed you to meet your nutritional requirements and you're just going to have to make it on your own. And I would venture to say, I bet she doesn't make it, you know, she's probably not going to be in your bread pen this fall. And one of the examples that we gave in the article was that if we're feeding 3.5 pounds of dried distillers supplement a day, and then we're feeding them a good quality meadow hay, the rest, you know, ad lib, whatever else they can eat, that would definitely meet both the energy and protein needs of that mature cow in that situation. But it actually makes that heifer 2 pounds of total digestible nutrients or TDN, a measure of energy, short of her requirement. So it doesn't meet a requirement. And then we expect her to grow and lactate and rebreed, even though we are not meeting her energy needs.
So just to kind of put that in perspective, I think, you know, I appreciate also what you've said about how do we challenge heifers, find heifers that fit our environment. And I think, you know, if you want to challenge a heifer, maybe some during the early development phase is that wean heifer calf, you know, a short breeding season, finding those heifers that, you know, can breed on your resources. But then once she's pregnant, as you well said, let's think about how can we strategically get her to that next stage. You know, basically I would say that 4-year-old cow. As we move through those twos and threes, that's a place where maybe we spend a little bit more. And because an open heifer as a yearling, she has a lot of value in the market right now as a feeder,
Absolutely.
you know, so
Yes.
that can work. That sure makes sense to me. But once she gets pregnant, maybe we pay just a little more attention to that one.
Yes, I think you're right. And you had made the comment that this year some of our supplemental feeds like distillers grains are a little cheaper than they were last year. And so when I suggest a little more supplementation for people, sometimes they back off of that a little bit because they're thinking, wow, you know, I want to have to buy all this extra supplement. But then I have to try to remind them, well, this little group of heifers is not your whole cow herd. They're a small part of your cow herd. And so developing them with a little more feed after they've had that first baby and they're lactating, or even right before calving to get them in a body condition score 6, because you know they're going to lose some weight due to lactation. If you think about that small little group that you're putting just a little bit of extra supplement into, they're not, you know, each heifer is not going to eat a ton, I mean, a literal 2,000 pound ton of that supplement. And that supplement may be $300 or $400. Well, what's that calf that we're hoping she's carrying worth? Well, more than $300 or $400. So.
Yeah, and I just kind of some quick back of the envelope math. You mentioned, you know, we're short 2 pounds of TDN if we're feeding 3.5 pounds of distillers grains and then some, you know, average quality meadow hay. Basically, we're short that on this first calf heifer. If we're talking a dried distillers grains cube at $400 a ton, you know, that's 20 cents a pound. Basically, if we spent another 40, 50 cents per head per day, we would meet her requirements. And again, that's not insignificant, but if we look at, if we could pick up another 5 to 10% pregnant, that is a pretty major deal. And then the other thing for me is it may be we're increasing the cyclicity of those heifers and when they do get pregnant. So it's not just the pregnancy itself, but how early in the breeding season they got pregnant. And so that translates into earlier born calves. It's kind of a snowball effect.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a snowball effect when we don't do
Yes. Yep.
it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. And so then when we get down to the fall and they're not bred, it's too late. So yeah, thinking about it now, it seems like it's an awful early time to be talking about breeding when you're up to your eyeballs with heifers having their first baby. But it is much easier to turn the tide for those young cows right now than it is 2 months down the road, and it's too late 4 months down the road.
And the other thing I would just mention, we have extension specialists and educators who can help you look at your feed stuff, look at your rations, see what you might supplement with. Maybe you've got adequate protein and you do need just a little bit of energy. And, 2 pounds of a whole corn or 3 pounds could be a energy source if it was fed daily also. So we talk about distillers grains, and it's a great resource in Nebraska. I think we're fortunate to have it. It just complements low quality forage. It complements especially growing cattle, their protein nutritional needs so well. But again, it's not a recipe. You just don't do that automatically. But think about what your options are, what might be most cost effective for your circumstances.
Absolutely. And right now, corn is much cheaper than it has been. And so while it may take something like distillers to meet their rumen undegradable protein needs, if it's just a little bit more energy that we need, maybe corn does work into that ration. And so I too would encourage people to visit with their beef educator county and figure out, well, what would it take for me to just bump the energy on this group of heifers, you know?
Dr. Wilkie, anything else you'd like to highlight on this today?
No, just best of luck to everyone out there with their calving and their rebreeding. And hopefully, we end up with a lot of satisfied producers and a lot of bred heifers come fall.
Well, for more information on the article that was discussed in today's Beef Watch podcast, again, the title of the article, Chasing the Elusive Second Calf, this can be found at beef.unl.edu.